I was standing in the visitor center of the Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Park in Atlanta, Georgia. There were evidence and artifacts of the life of Martin Luther King all around me. There were, as you might imagine, display cases and like picket signs behind glass and all kinds of different things around the room. There was the wooden cart, one of the walls of the cart kind of leaning and falling in a little bit. The wooden cart on which the body of Martin Luther King was pulled through the city of Atlanta for his funeral procession. And around the room, in various places, just kind of scattered about on big signs, were in bold print quotations of King's words. And the one I kind of stood in front of the longest and actually wrote down went like this. In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All of us are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. I read that sign and I thought, well, there's my statement of faith right there. Everything is tied together. Everything is interwoven. I find comfort in that weaving metaphor. There is a woven net or web, or better yet, a woven hammock that I can lean into, lie down on, give myself to, and it will hold me. Every Sunday, we say together some words that are adapted from and inspired by the UU minister, the Reverend Dr. Rebecca Ann Parker. There is a love holding us. There's a love holding you. There's a love holding all. We rest in this love. Whenever we say that we rest in this love, I am slipping in my mind into my little love hammock, lying back. I feel that holding me. More specifically, recently, I've been thinking of a hammock that is woven from red ropes tied between a tree stump and a hammock stand that's at a camp that's owned by the family of a friend of mine on an island in the St. Lawrence River. From the hammock, when you're in it, you can look out over the river. You look, and it's like literally over the river. There's not a beach. There's a 25-foot drop cliff to the water down there. And when you're up at the top, there's, you know, oak and pine trees at the edge, and you look through them just right out over the St. Lawrence River. The big ocean-going vessels, they go right past there. You sit and watch them go by. For 2 years during the pandemic, this was the only place where I gathered together with people who were not my family, with maybe a couple exceptions here. It became a special place, especially the first time in 2020. It's the only time I was with other people that whole year. It was good to be there, and I loved that hammock. You could lay back in the net of it. You'd sway just a little bit, and I'd snooze in the sunlight made soft by the trees around me. Rest in this love. That's what I think of. But interdependence isn't just a static thing. It isn't just a webby woven hammock hanging up over there that I can go over and take a nap in. I mean, it is a webby woven hammock that I can go over there and take a nap in, but it's not just that. The weaving of interdependence is also a dynamic happening, a continual doing. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. We are trying to do being that King is talking about there is a very active, dynamic, happening being. That interdependence is is something that happens. I don't think it's as a startling realization to us. It might be a pretty obvious one. But I do think that it's hard for us to live into that doing of interdependence, because it's difficult to simply break out of our commitment to independence. And emotionally, it can be difficult to break out of feelings of isolation that we often get trapped in as human beings. As interconnected as we are in this social media age, we still so often feel simply alone. So simply making the shift from I'm alone and isolated to I am part of a vast interconnectedness, that can be hard enough just on its own. But once we're there, once we can spend some time there, we can feel how interdependence is something that happens. That red net of a hammock, well, all sorts of connecting and reconnecting and depending on one another had to happen in order for me to have that nice little hammock lie down. There was lots of coordinating and communicating back and forth, lots of making sure that we heard from everyone. I don't think this so-and-so responded to this email thing. Did you get in touch with them? Lots of that connecting that had to happen for me to have that little hammock nap time. The Dalai Lama says that, quote, Buddhism has a unique philosophical view, the concept of interdependence, that everything depends on other factors, that nothing exists absolutely or independently. And honestly, I don't know how unique that point of view really is, but it's maybe just a fact, part of how existence is put together. It's maybe not new or unique to realize that human beings are innately social beings. But considering the consequences of that and actually being mindful of the consequences of that, that is more unique. The social movement theorist and facilitator Adrian Marie Brown wrote a book called Emergent Strategy, and in it she interviews lots of people, one of whom is her sister, Autumn, who's also an organizer and a teacher. And in that conversation, Autumn says this, "We are innately cooperative and social beings. I often tell my students that there is a reason humans are born unable to move, dress, eat on their own, unable to protect themselves. We are born into relationships of dependence and interdependence. It's what we long for. And we struggle within decision-making models and structures that don't support that deepest desire." So she takes it another step. It's not just we're innately connected. It's something that we long for, and we struggle within decision-making models and structures that don't support that deepest desire. When we join together with one another, we start having to make all sorts of decisions with one another. It starts having to be a fairly intentional thing. If everyone is connected to everyone, and you can't be who you ought to be until, or unless, I am who I ought to be, we have to pay all sorts of attention to how our interdependence is happening. Wanting health and thriving for all of us, we can't just take our interdependence for granted. Interdependence is the way things are. It's the way life lives. We will be interdependent and interconnected whether we attend to it or not. Interdependence is the truth right now. But there's a healthy shift that can happen when we consciously, mindfully, heartfully nurture and do interdependence. Interdependence happens. Nurturing it and doing it so that we move in the direction of thriving for everyone means that we can't get stuck. The theologian and mystic Howard Thurman is another one who recognizes that mutual interdependence is characteristic of all life. But he combines this with the insight that everything is always changing, and he believes that is the key. He says the key word to remember always is potential, that which has not yet come to pass, but which is always coming to pass. It is only the potential, the undisclosed, the unfinished, that has a future. only the unfinished has a future. Never thought of it quite like that. Are you finished yet? No. Oh my gosh, we get so worried about not being finished about things. You know, hallelujah. We're not finished. It means we might have a future. Building on that insight, Thurman realizes that there are two challenges that human beings face. One is not getting stuck in that isolated individuality, but the other is not getting stuck in just one kind of relationship, one understanding of what connectedness is or who to be connected to. The danger, he says, is in the fact that, while in various ways we continue growing and developing and experiencing, the point of our most fundamental sense of relatedness may become fixed in order for growth to be continuous and healthy rather than continuous and malignant. It's important that the character of our relatedness be and remain dynamic. It must grow and grow to the end that it will be a true expression of our living experience at the moment. Our relatedness must be and remain dynamic. What does that mean? It means, in Thurman's words, always moving in upon our life is the friend whose existence we did not know, whose coming and going is not ours to determine. We keep our interdependence healthy when we are always making room for and welcoming the friend who we don't know yet, and perhaps also the self we don't know yet, ourself that we don't know yet. We keep our independence healthy when we acknowledge that we have a friend we don't know yet and we can't control their coming and going. So we not only make a space for our as yet unmet friend, we make space for their coming and going. If we don't do that, then we effectively shut ourselves away from one another, shut others away from us. A dynamic interdependence. That's what we need in order to thrive. Thurman thinks of it this way. He believes that life needs life to live. Life feeds on life. We need others around so that we can thrive. Real thriving, healthy thriving, is open, is always seeking interdependence. It's living always as active collaborators. We all know this, I think. I think we all feel this deep down. Limited a little by the patriarchal language of his time, Thurman puts it this way. Community cannot feed for long on itself. It can only flourish where always the boundaries are giving way to the coming of others from beyond them, unknown and undiscovered brothers. This last insight of Thurman's is really important. The friend, the brother, the cousin, sibling, dear one is unknown to us, unknown by us. Even if we think we know who they are, the people that we want to be here with us, maybe in this congregation, when we think about who we want to be here, we think about young adults, we think about families with young children, for example. When we think we know who they are and what they need, when we've decided that our current modes of relatedness don't need to be changed and will work just fine for them, when we do that and depend simply on a fixed assumption, we will most likely shut others away. We need to reach out to who we think our undiscovered friends might be, but we welcome them by giving them space for who they are to emerge and become known to us and to them. We welcome our unknown friend by knowing that we are unfinished and so are they. Interdependence is something that we're called to do, to tend to nurture as well as to rest in and depend on. It's because our doing interdependence isn't finished that it has a future. I'll finish unfinished with some words of Howard Thurman. We, all of us, belong to each other. And we who shut ourselves away diminish ourselves. And we who shut another away from us destroy ourselves. To be sure, life is not finished yet. Creation is still going on, not only in the spinning of new worlds, systems, nebulae, and galaxies in the infinitude of space, not only in the invisible world where chemical elements are born and nourished to support conglomerates of matter yet to appear at some far-off moment in time, but also in the human body, which is still evolving, in the human mind, which so slowly loosens its corporal bonds, and in the human spirit, which forever drives to know the truth of itself and its fellows. And all the people, Thurman said, amen. Amen.